The date is May 20th, 1987, and we're watching Beverly Hills Cop 2. Welcome to I Used to Like This One.
Hello and welcome to I Used to Like This One, the show where we take a look back at movies we remember fondly from our childhood and attempt to look past the nostalgia to see if they still hold up. My name is Sean Wells, and with me, as always, is the Rosewood to my Taggart.
Hello, everybody. I'm Colin Stewart.
So excited to be doing these sequels, and I believe last time I also called you the Rosewood to my Taggart, or it was vice versa, but yeah. If we're going to do the sequel to a movie, we might as well make the episode as similar as possible. That's the goal, isn't it? So this week, we're looking back at May 1987, when the movies and theaters were La Bamba, Ishtar, Ernest Goes to Camp, Creepshow 2, and, of course, our movie for today, Beverly Hills Cop 2, which earned $299,965,000 on a $27 million budget. Like 35 grand shy of 300 million, but that's impressive for 1987. That's a good number. Holy shit. I'd want that much in 2024.
I mean, it's not that shocking when you like, after you rattle off that list of what was also in theaters, because,
true.
I mean, well, it doesn't sound like there was too much going on.
Well, yeah,
in
Ishtar, notoriously terrible. La Bamba, it's an award winner, but is that going to draw people? Yeah, and we got an Ernest movie and Creepshow, so, I mean, Creepshow 2, it's a sequel, so, I mean, you know, it's some audience is there for it already.
Yeah, La Bamba seems to... probably too ethnic for 1987. There was a target audience there.
That's true. Maybe. Yeah.
That's Lou Diamond Phillips,
Lou Diamond Phillips, yeah. Story of Los Lobos or Richie Valens, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, as always, there will be spoilers ahead. So if you don't want this movie to be spoiled for you, like the wrong plans to your $1 million mansion makeover,
sure.
I guess.
Yeah, I don't know.
Then please hit pause, go watch the movie, and then come back and hear what we have to say.
So I only found two taglines this week. Well, but it's Beverly Hills Cop 2, two taglines. I guess it fits. But the first one, the heat's back on.
Was the heat is on for the...
Yep, that song, yeah. Na 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 na. Yeah, the heat is on.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was the big song from the first one, and I think it plays once in this movie as well, if I remember correctly. It's on the radio when he's driving around, or maybe it's something that's similar to the heat is on. Whoa, I'll have to get there in my notes. Anyway,
the only song I remember from this movie is
yeah. Oh, it's played a lot. Yeah, it sure is. Yeah,
the frog. Some of the
Axel F.
What the frog? Is that what that song is called?
It's called Axel F because it's just, yeah, it's named after the character. But yeah, it was that, what's it called? Whatever frog. Yeah, they've done a stupid ass version. We played that during the first one. So, because I was like, lyrics? Anyway, number two tagline, Axel Foley's back, where he doesn't belong.
All right.
I mean, maybe it's in my delivery. Like, there's an ellipsis, and then, like, the second part of it has an exclamation point, right? So I thought I was doing that. Axel Foley's back, where he doesn't belong, right? I don't know. Or it just seemed, whatever. Not very good taglines. So let's go to Colin and get a 60-second synopsis.
All right, I'm trying to do better with these.
Oh, you've always done fantastic. I've always loved your 60-second synopsis. And I will say, you know, big credit to Chris and Aaron, who also pump out pretty solid 60-second synopsises as well. But, yeah, I've always had a soft spot for yours.
All right. Here we go. Detroit police officer Axel Foley returns to Beverly Hills to reunite with his pals, Detective Billy Rosewood and Sergeant John Taggart, after Captain Andrew Bogomil is shot and seriously wounded by a group of criminals who've been committing Alphabet-related robberies around the city. As the trio sets out to solve who is behind the Alphabet crimes, Rosewood and Taggart try to steer clear of new police chief Harold Lutz, whose political aspirations cloud his appreciation for good old-fashioned police work. And Axel works to keep his police chief in the dark about the real reason for his absence from the Detroit PD. There we go.
Nice. Oh, that Axel, always up to some hijinks.
Yeah.
Oh boy, Beverly Hills.
I should have said Beverly Hills Building Inspector.
That's right. He sure is. He'll take any job that he can make up on the fly. Yeah, Beverly Hills Cop 2 is. I mean, I love the first one, and when there was a second one to be watched, I've always loved this movie. This is actually, I think, the one that I'm most familiar with out of the original trilogy. I did do some extra credit. I went and watched the new one that dropped on Netflix recently. So I have also seen the fourth one, and they made up for the third one with the fourth one, I think. But
Oh, is the third one bad?
the third one, yeah, it's a little bit shark jumping y, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it's one of those ones where it's like, yeah, we could have done without Indy getting into the fridge. You know, that kind of thing. But so I've always just loved the series though. Like I do even love the third one, but it's juvenile. But yeah, but for me, this and the stand-up comedy is always what Eddie Murphy will be, despite all the other stuff, and Coming to America, but despite all the other stuff that we have watched or that, you know, that I've gone on to watch, like the Norbits and the Clumps of the World. This is always the Eddie Murphy that I think of, is Axel Foley when I think of Eddie Murphy. So, Colin, Beverly Hills Cop 2. If I remember, Beverly Hills Cop 1 was a first time watch. So, what's your story here? What's your history?
Much the same, zero history.
Okay.
So yeah, this was a first watch for me.
Right
My
on.
history,
Okay.
my
Well,
history basically, my history basically ends at the end of our
there we
last
go. How well did you remember the first movie when you put this one on?
Like zero, like not at all. I couldn't like, yeah. It was a kind of a shame. I wish I would have had time to watch like Beverly Hills Cop again and then watch this one, but I didn't. I think the only part of it that I felt like sometimes I was kind of missing the first time I watched this one was I couldn't remember what the relationships between like Taggart and Rosewood and Bogomil were, but you kind of pick it up as the movie goes along anyways. And then, but when I watched it the second time, I was like a little bit more refreshed.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing to know is that in the first one, he was a thorn in their side and he just pissed them off. But ultimately, he was endearing to them. And then in this one, now all of a sudden, they're best friends, even the captain. Like they had to make sure that he was best friends with the captain. Well, here we go. Let's jump into Beverly Hills Cop 2, directed by Tony Scott, produced by Don Simpson and Jerry Bruckheimer, and written by Danilo Bach and Daniel Petrie, who both get the based on characters for both of them. And Eddie Murphy gets a writing credit on this. This is his first movie writing credit. It was Beverly Hills Cop 2. Robert D. Wachs, Larry Ferguson, Warren Skarin, David Guiler, who is uncredited, and Dennis Klein. Yes, I just read off a shit ton of names as writers for this movies, which is usually a terrible sign.
Yeah, that's who's like the original? I mean, are most of those like rewrites, or was like
Maybe like two of them were uncredited, right? So they're not official, but that's still four writers before I get to the uncredited ones.
yeah.
No one trusted Eddie Murphy on his first one. Oh, plus the based on characters guys, but I don't think they actually do anything physically for this movie. I think they just have to get the credit. They're grandfathered into that credit.
Yeah.
So, according to the DVD documentary Paramount, originally they wanted to produce a TV series of Beverly Hills Cop because of how successful the first film was. But Eddie Murphy didn't want to go back to television, so they made the sequel instead. And here I think, man, if you guys had just waited like 25 years. This movie, it makes good television, or I think it would. I mean, they tried Rush Hour, the television series. They've tried movies into TV series, but I don't know. I think Beverly Hills Cop could be fun.
I think so. I think especially if it was like if like they were gonna keep Eddie Murphy. Like I think the hard part for like TV shows like Rush Hour or Lethal Weapon is that the while the concept is great, it's hard for people to divorce like Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker or like Mel Gibson and Danny Glover from like those characters. And they you want to see
I'm
like what's
sorry,
already
Damon
been a
Wayans. You, sir, are no Danny Glover.
Yeah, you want to see what's been established continue on. So I feel like, but I am a bit curious about that because I don't know. Again, I think I mentioned this in Beverly Hills Cop, but like I'm not super familiar with the career of Eddie Murphy. To me, he's kind of always just been like super famous, like A-list. But like, so the idea to me that after Beverly Hills Cop, they would have even like dared to be like, oh, we should put you on TV to continue this show seems like odd to me.
Well, I mean, you're watching Eddie Murphy with Kevin Hart in a way,
Yeah.
right? Like the fact that like he's just this comedian that exploded onto the scene all of a sudden and was selling out arenas and that kind of stuff. That's who Eddie Murphy was. I mean, he did one season of SNL, but like so many people will tell you that's some of their favorite shit is the Eddie Murphy stuff. And it was one year.
Yeah.
He just, for some reason, just exploded and then was fucking everywhere like Kevin Hart.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess hindsight's 22. I would have loved to know what the Beverly Hills Cop TV show with Eddie Murphy would have been like.
I also wondered that because would it be network?
Yeah.
Because in 1987, I don't think HBO would have been making a TV series. Like it was barely around at the time. It was still just boxing matches and shit.
But also like I guess like conceptually though as well is how do you operate Beverly Hills Cop as a TV show functionally? Like episodically, like what's happening to bring him
Back all the
back
time.
all the time? Like or is it just
Does he just
they
transfer?
just pull a Joey and he just like moves to California and be
Moves in with his quirky brother, or something.
Because it's funny, I had read in the trivia, I think, on IMDb that another concept idea for the sequel was that he was gonna like work with cops from Scotland Yard. Like he it was gonna be like a European there's gonna be a European.
Axel Foley in Europe. Axel goes to Europe.
Like what a weird turn if they had decided instead of it being a Beverly Hills Cop, it's like, oh well, the first one's like Axel Foley is Beverly Hills Cop. The second one's Axel Foley with like
Dublin cop,
Dublin Cop, like Axel.
yeah,
The third one's Axel Foley, like Mumbai PD, like goes to South America. I
Axel Foley, Secret
don't
Service.
know, like yeah, like before you know it, he's joining like I don't know the Interpol or something like that.
absolutely. Well, let's talk about the people that make up this universe of Axel Foley, because I mean we have definitely talked about the main man himself, but who else we got in this movie?
We have Judge Reinhold as Detective Billy Rosewood. It's weird that Judge Reinhold's Wikipedia picture looks like it's still a photo of him from the 1980s.
Some actors will definitely do that. If you were to watch the new one, I don't know whether in that one Billy is a little bit washed up. You know, he was fired from the force and he's now a PI, and so he looks like he's been drinking. But Judge Reinhold isn't looking as good as he was in, say, the Santa Claus.
Mm.
You know, like even Santa Claus, which was like 15 years after this, right? You know, it's, you know, he, nowadays, I don't know whether it was the character, but if it wasn't, he's looking rough these days. Taggart is looking worse, though. I'll say that. But I mean, that man's got to be almost 80. So.
Yes, Ronnie Cox. No,
No,
John
John
Ashton.
Ashton. Yeah.
Yeah, Ronnie Cox is Captain Andrew Bogomil. We have Jürgen Prochnow as Maxwell Dent, the villain of the movie.
Jürgen, I love that name.
Former Mrs. Stallone,
Yeah, that's right.
Bridget Nielsen as Carla Fry.
That feels like an odd coupling because like she's like 6'1", 6'2", and he's like 5'8", 5'9". He's an itty bitty guy. Like that just it doesn't seem to match up right.
Well, I read that her and Tony Scott had an affair on this movie.
That as well,
Which I don't know. What does Tony Scott look like? I need to compare him to Sylvester Stallone right now.
Yeah, Tony Scott has
Is that like a I hope
I don't have my
in
phone.
the Me Too world that that wasn't some sort of weird casting couch situation
Yeah,
of the
hopefully not.
1980s.
Hopefully not, yeah.
Alan Garfield is Chief Harold Lutz. Dean Stockwell is Charles Kane.
Who I can never unsee as Al from Quantum Leap, but I love when Dean Stockman shows up in a movie. Or Dean Stockwell,
Stockwell.
sorry. Yeah.
Gil Hill is Inspector Douglas Todd. Let's look that.
What a great name. No, Inspector Todd. Yeah, he's the chief that gets to yell a lot. That's all he does in these movies is yell.
Oh, that's the
Yeah.
guy. Okay.
Yeah, the black chief, the Detroit chief.
Oh,
Yeah.
gotcha. Yeah, that guy's funny.
Yeah.
Gilbert Gottfried makes an appearance towards the end as Sidney Bernstein.
That was a great scene. Yeah.
His voice, man, his voice is just so, I don't know. I was gonna say he's akin to the recently passed Richard Simmons in my mind. Like that, he's just one of those characters that I remember like being on TV in my youth.
Well, and I mean, we were all raised on Iago. I mean,
Yeah.
no matter what, like when you hear that voice, you're always brought some sort of like Disney comfort because of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. As grating as his voice is.
Paul Reiser shows up as Detective Jeffrey Friedman.
I've been watching Stranger Things lately, so I've been watching so much old Paul Reiser lately.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Brian O'Connor is Detective Biddle. Paul Guilfoyle is Nikos Tomopoulos.
Paul Guilfoyle, I remember him from CSI. He's the police captain or whatever.
He's one of, in
Yeah,
this movie,
or
he's
the
one of the
mayor
like
or whatever.
gangsters, right? Like
Yeah,
when Max was in
I think
Detroit
so.
still. Robert Ridgely is Mayor Ted Egan. Alice Adair is Jan Bogomil.
Yeah. Give a shout out to Alice Adair as the only non-linker on this list.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone go write her a Wikipedia page.
I'm gonna skip to Hugh Hefner
As himself,
as himself.
absolutely. First movie ever filmed at the
Playboy
Playboy
Mansion.
Mansion. Yeah.
We got Frank Pesci related to Joe. No, Joe's with an I
No idea.
think.
Yeah, with an eye, yeah.
Chris
And
Rock makes his debut as the parking
his
valet.
debut, man, he is so young. What am I supposed to do with a semi truck or a dump truck or
We
whatever?
park lots
Yeah.
in cars. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah. Whatever, we can finish the list if we want, but I mean, I'll give a shout out to Tiny Lister
Yeah, we just talked
because.
about him in Fifth Element.
Yeah, absolutely. He was the president of the universe or whatever it was. So,
First black
yeah.
president on TV.
That's right. I don't know. I think Deep Impact was before that movie, wasn't it? And that was Morgan Freeman. So,
Okay.
yeah.
Was it? I thought Deep Impact was 97
Oh.
and Fifth Element is 95. Because I remember when we,
Right.
I never
Yeah.
watched Deep
Yeah,
Impact, but I
actually, I
remember
think
us,
Armageddon was 98,
yeah, I
actually. So
remember us
Deep
talking
Impact
about
was the same year.
it in Armageddon. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. My mistake. Well, there we go. He could be the president of the first black president. So we open this movie with a heist, and we get to watch that everything is made or set down to the second. They know exactly how much time they have to pull off this heist. I mean, I guess the heist opens with the limo pulling up to the jewelry store, and the lady steps out, but surprise, the lady is a bad guy, is what we get. And ooh, 1987, a bad guy lady? No, breaking through that glass ceiling.
I mean, when she's like 6 foot, like
A
eight,
Amazonian,
and
yeah.
looks to be chiseled out of granite, female Dolph
Pretty much, yeah.
Lundgren, literally. I wish they would have made a little bit more out of the alphabet thing.
A little bit, yeah. It dries up awfully soon, which is a little bit too bad. You wish that they could have gotten at least another one or two crimes out of the way. But now, how does this heist for you compare to the Point Break heist?
I
Who
think
whose style do you like more? Do you like the TikTok, or do you like the I'm not a crook?
no, I like the Point Break style a lot better. There's more
Yeah.
pizzazz, more charisma, I think.
Yeah.
These guys are efficient, I suppose, but I don't know. They needed to like put some kind of like Joker style or like Riddler style riddles in those envelopes to really make it pop.
Yeah, I mean, like, there is a code that they have to figure out with all of them, of course, but yeah, there's no extra flair on the code. Yeah, you need to make it look like you wrote it with your left hand. Like, you need to crazy up the notes that you do. Nicely printed, like, weren't they typed out even? Like, no.
no. You need to
You
like
need
be
to.
using magazine clippings and stuff like that.
Yes, you do.
I think too, it's kind of like in the end, it's underwhelming to find out that it's kind of just the whole alphabet thing is just a ploy, like to cover up like their actual agenda. Like I wish there would have been more stakes with it.
Yeah, it's all an insurance scam. Like the ultimate, like it's like Die Hard. Ultimately, it's just a heist there too. They think they're terrorists. So yeah, in this case, it's yeah. Ultimately, it's just an insurance scam. But they could have named the racetrack something that starts with an H, so that we could have had a few more crimes. No, it has to be start with an E.
I don't know why this just occurred to me. Maybe it's because they're like German. I was like, wouldn't it be cool if there was like a weird like buddy cop universe where like these guys are somehow related to Hans Gruber and like I don't know whatever the villain from like Lethal Weapon and Rush Hour and like at some point we could just have like a movie that it was like the Avengers of buddy cops like teams all needed to assemble to like work together and save New York or something.
Outstanding. Yes, I like it.
And then you could even bring like they'll get the old school people like Starsky and Hutch or something like
So after the heist, we cut to Chicago, or not Chicago, we hard cut to Detroit, Michigan, and we get a montage of Eddie Murphy getting dressed up all fancy. He's just, straight pimping, I guess. He's got a fancy car, major 80s style. Yeah. But he's meeting a guy about 2,000 credit cards. I guess that's why they had to open this movie with a heist. Because if it was just Eddie Murphy up to his shenanigans again, like it was in the first movie, it would be like, oh, this is just a straight ripoff. This time, no, they throw you into the bad guy action first. They start the bad guy story first.
And we get and when we see Eddie Murphy, we get one of the craziest lines I've ever heard in my life when he's
Oh, which
talking
one?
to this guy and he's t the guy's talking about that girl and he's like she could suck a golf ball through 20 feet of garden hose.
Yeah.
And I was just like I just thought about that for like I literally I watched the movie. I think I was telling you we ran into each other yesterday and I was telling you I watched this movie in like 30-minute increments. And so that line I literally thought about for the rest of that day after I watched it because I was just like, is that a good thing? Like that seems like it would require a lot of suction. That might be too hard. Like I don't know. Like and I don't know. It's like I don't
Yeah, like, would
know.
my skull cave in?
Yeah,
Right?
like
Like, is that the goal? Is that much suction?
she's gonna
There's a
like
reason you don't use a vacuum attachment for that, right?
yeah.
Like, yeah, you're pulling flesh off at that point, I think. But
And then I read like a hilarious thing. I don't know, so Canadian, but in the trivia they mentioned that the movie was like rated R in Ontario, and it,
only Ontario, or
I guess so. Maybe, but maybe this is
okay,
just for the story. But like,
yeah.
but Paramount like petitioned the Ontario government to make it 14A because they wanted to draw more people and like allow like basically like parental guidance, like allow parents to bring their kids or their older kids. And in order to do it, in order for them to decrease the rating, they had to take that line out. They wanted that line axed from the movie.
Wow.
So there's like
Was
a.
that the only line, or was that just one of the main?
From what I read, that was the only line. So there was like an
Wow.
alternate, probably. I've got to assume it's a Canada thing.
Yeah.
I don't remember if there was a time where like provinces had different like movie rating control. But anyways. But yeah, so there is an alternate version that would be similar to like a TV cut, I guess, that doesn't have that line in it.
I see.
It was too offensive to our East Coast Canadian sensibilities.
I know we're so sheltered up here. Yeah. It's sad, really. So, yeah, he's meeting the guy for credit cards. That's quite the scam. He's investigating credit card fraud. And then we cut back to Beverly Hills and we continue with our bad guy story. So, like, this is the opening of this movie is like a lot of not Eddie Murphy. Which is interesting, but yeah, we see the police captain out for a jog. Is he only jogging there because he's investigating, or do you think he also likes to often jog near high-powered lines? Like, I know he's jogging as part of his ruse, but that doesn't seem like a place that someone would go to jog.
It's funny because none of that ever occurred to me. I watched it, I was like, oh, he must just be out for a run.
I mean, they're in California. Like, go to like Run Your Ca Canyon or whatever it's called, right? Like,
Yeah, go to the beach.
go to the beach. Yeah, I mean, no, I'm gonna run through these oil fields. That's where I want to run. All these electrical lines and oil fields. Yeah.
Man, that all makes sense. I feel like an idiot. I'm just piecing it together. I'm like, that's why they shot. Like, I did not get why they shot him. Like
What, why
that.
they chose him as their next crime?
Yeah,
Yeah,
that
like,
seems so random to me. And now I get it. Now I'm piecing it together. It's making
yeah,
sense.
like he could have always been part of the plan because, like, B for Bogomil,
Yeah.
right? So, but I mean, if they were also onto him, that just helps their case, I guess. Yeah. But I mean, that also makes me realize that I never said what the A crime was. And I think I need to go to sponsorship corner. Always on the lookout for product placements in movies. This week, Beverly Hills Cop 2 is brought to you by Dodge, Chevrolet, Chrysler, Ford, Cadillac, Oldsmobile, GM, Mercedes, and Ferrari vehicles. Can you tell this movie was set in Detroit? International trucks, but not Mack. It's interesting. There was he did drive a Mack truck, but the A is intentionally missing out of the word Mack. But we do also have an international truck in there at some point. New Balance and Adidas shoes, Purina pet food, Diet Coke, 7-Up, ADT, Chanel, Bunch Crane. Is that supposed to say Bunch? I hope it's supposed to say Bunch. I'm hoping autocorrect didn't fail me on that one. The Beverly Hills Hotel, the Detroit Lions, and Playboy magazine. Plus the probably fictional Adriana's. So there we go. There's the jewelry store they robbed. Everfast armored car, Dent Oil, Cafe Rodeo, DSJB Concrete Company. Interestingly, the DSJB on that concrete company stands for Don Simpson, Jerry Bruckheimer, Gobin Construction, Club 385 North, and the Beverly Hills Gun Club. And this has been Sponsorship Corner. It is definitely interesting that the captain is like still like super buddy buddy with Axel. They go fishing together, I guess, but the captain ends up getting got.
Yeah, by being the being just an upstanding citizen trying to help a poor young lady with car trouble.
That's right.
I'll never stop when I see somebody on the side of the road. I mean, I don't now because I'm pretty much useless anyways. Like, I have no like mechanical ability. Like, if you need an extra pair of eyes to just stand on the side of the road with you and look and scratch his head, then I'm your guy. But if you need help, yeah. I'm not your guy.
Yeah. Yeah. If you need me to maybe see where a big clump of wires is unplugged, I might be able to find that for you. If it's obvious. Well, there's your problem right there. That big wire was snipped. Like, that I might be able to help. Yeah, no, I'm the same way. Yeah. I can change a tire. You got a flat, I can change a tire, but I'm not stopping to help you fix your fucking tire.
Was there like a prominent police chief in the last movie?
There was an old man.
Lutz is new, right? Like he seems to have like there and kind of changed things around. And
yeah. No, there was an old man, because I remember the old man showed up at the mansion shootout at the end of that. And he was the chief of police. And that's when, like, Bogomil took all the blame. And it's like, oh, Bogomil did like Axel after all. And I guess so. Now they fish together.
I'm just reading here on the Wikipedia page that the reason that Bogomil has such a small role is because Ronnie Cox was shooting RoboCop at the time. Oh. As well, and he couldn't get enough time off to do both.
Just shoot him and put him in the hospital for most of the movie. Okay.
I was really hoping that he was gonna come back and be the one that had shot the like Bridget Nielsen at the end instead of Taggart. I thought that would have been epic. Also, was Taggart? Is the running gag of him and his wife divorcing and breaking up? Is that a thing that goes through all 4 movies?
It makes its way into the 4th one. Yeah, he's back together with his wife in the 4th one. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, that's a running joke. Yeah. Yeah, they definitely do have a few of those running jokes that show up throughout the series.
I forgot when Axel like goes to his police chief, what's that guy's name again? Inspector Todd.
Yeah, Inspector Todd.
To tell him he's going to leave or whatever.
I'm going deep, deep, deep undercover.
Yeah, he said he has my like my second favorite line of the entire movie. He says something to the effect of, "You're making me think so hard, my dick itches." And I was like, "Have you ever thought so hard that your dick itched?" I don't know.
I don't understand the connection, but I mean, you know, you go to an acupuncturist and you think you've got something wrong with your neck, and they're like sitting there jabbing needles into your ankle for some reason. So I don't know. I guess if you know, maybe there is some direct link, but I've never thought that hard. Yeah.
Yeah. Hello. That one made me laugh a lot.
Yeah. I guess I kind of left out the fact that we've also got like Rosewood and Taggart that are kind of rebels now, and they end up getting demoted but never like actually reporting to any kind of duty. if they're getting demoted, I'm assuming they're supposed to go and put uniforms on now and like walk the streets, right?
Yeah, I kept waiting for that to happen. I was surprised that they never actually like
do
reports of traffic duty.
But it's because this new guy's an asshole, and the captain gets suspended, right?
Yeah, Bogomil gets suspended.
Yeah, Bogomil gets suspended. And then that's when he gets shot, and we get letter B of the alphabet, and so now Axel's gonna, like, just drop everything in his investigation and run to Beverly Hills to help them investigate, and leaves Paul Reiser in charge of his...
It's Ferrari.
If it's Ferrari, just drive around and pretend you're me. Yeah. 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 We find out how much of a mistake that was. But, you know, like, he's a good wingman. Paul Reiser is a good bro to have in your pocket, you know? Like, even though like he's making questionable choices, he still comes through and makes the phone calls when he needs to make the phone calls and all that stuff.
Yeah, I liked that little. I actually wanted more, a little bit more of Paul Reiser and his antics back in Detroit.
Like his I even with the first movie, he was barely in the first movie. So they gave him much more in this movie, but it's still not a lot. What I'm disappointed this movie doesn't have is Serge Bronson Pinchot, because he shows up in the third and the fourth, but he was too busy with Perfect Strangers when this one came around. So
Okay.
like Ronnie Cox, yeah, he just didn't have the time to do it properly, and so. But I guess, yeah, Bronson Pinchot didn't even have a time to do one scene. Come in, say some funny shit, and leave. But so Axel heads to Beverly Hills, and we get a montage of him driving through Beverly Hills, which of course, you know, explodes with everything 80s. Like it, this is such an 80s movie, because like the focuses of this, they're focusing on tight asses, and they're like, it's gloriously 80s.
Everyone's wearing, like, every
Gloriously.
woman is just wearing spandex upon spandex upon spandex, and what are those, like, calf warmers or leg
Leg
warmers,
warmers, absolutely.
headbands. Everybody's got that weird, like, blown out hair.
And then at the end of his journey, he gets the idea to just go and squat in a house. He goes and takes over a house that's under construction. He pretends to be the building inspector or whatever it is, and just takes over. I
It's
mean, that's what Axel does. That's what he
yeah.
does.
That's one of those things that I was watching and I was like, this is the type of shit that people ate up in the 1980s that just like does not like it just doesn't like play as funny as I like know it did back then. Like I know in the 1980s people were probably like rolling over like laughing
Ah, you
at
did it
his
again.
interactions with
Ah,
it.
No, I totally agree. Like, 'cause there is actually a scene in the new one where he goes to a hotel and he like or he goes to the Beverly Hills Hotel, of course, because that's where he always seems to end up. But he goes there and he's about to start pulling some shtick to get himself a free room, and then he's like, "Oh fuck it, I don't have the energy. I'm too tired. Do you have a room for I could get for the night?" Right? So it's like they even kind of call out that, you know, this must be exhausting to live as Axel Foley. You're always playing a character. But yeah, he takes over the house, gets all the construction guys out of there. There is this one moment where it's under construction, and I don't know if you can do this anymore, but when he's telling everybody to get down and stop working, he like does sign language where he's like, "Get down and stop working," like where he pretends to do sign language behind his head. I'm wondering, like, is this offensive? I don't know, because my fiance actually happened to be in the room at that time, and she even called that out, where she's like, "I don't know if you can do that anymore." I mean, it just,
I would have never thought about it.
you know, I shrugged and went, "Representation matters," even if it's not real sign language. I don't know, or it's just to make sure that there's a physical message, like. I don't know. It's almost like waving to the guys that might not be hearing him. But still, it just, yeah, it seemed like maybe someone would frown upon that in the hard of hearing community.
Well, they won't be listening to this podcast unless they pay to get it transcribed, so
Zing.
let us know, I guess, if you're reading this.
So the influence, of course, of Axel does carry over to Rosewood and Taggart. Now that they've been demoted, the three of them are just going to work this case together. None of them are supposed to be working this case, but all three of them are going to work the case together. One of the details I love in this movie is the fact that there are, is it, I think it's three different times that Axel Foley scams money out of someone, but he always uses that money to pay someone else. So in the scene where they go to the, they're now working the case, they go to the gun club and he grabs Rosewood's vitamins in the plastic bag and he's pretending that it's a an explosive device. You know, he's sweating and going into the gun club. Yeah, the woman ends up paying him $20 to take it off her desk and down the hallway. And then he throws out the vitamins. When he gets back in the car, Rosewood says, "Where's my vitamins?" He gives Rosewood the $20.
Hmm.
So it's also the case with the bribe that he takes off of Gilbert Godfrey. He ends up giving to charity. And then there was somewhere else that he makes money. I can't remember it at the time. Maybe it'll come up in my notes. But he that's what he ends up tipping Chris Rock with when the dump truck has to be parked at the Playboy Mansion.
That's awesome.
So it's just, it's neat that, like, you know, he is still an honest cop in a way then, because, like, he's not using the money for personal gain. Like, it's,
he's using the money to fuel his, to fund his actual police work.
That's right.
I guess.
Yeah, it's, you gotta spend money to make money, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That is a fascinating gun club. I mean, I've gone to the gun range a few times in my life, that so I'm familiar with the environment. I've never seen one that looks like this, and definitely not one that uses some sort of laser tracking motion.
I didn't get that. Like, I don't. I feel like that to me that runs contrary to what every person I know who likes guns likes about going to a shooting range.
Yeah,
like I feel like people like the feel of the bullet and the like the kick and that kind of stuff. Like,
yeah, because like these guns were still set up to simulate firing, I guess. Like, yeah, it seemed like there was still noise and a kick, but no, you want to see the hole that you made in the paper. You don't.
Like, are they just, they must be shooting like blanks almost or yeah, something, like just like charged.
And the laser tracks it or something? Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you know, Axel pulls out a real gun and shoots holes. Like, you don't even realize that's what's going on until Axel shoots the holes in it for real.
Yeah. Yeah. I found that scene confusing both times I watched it through.
Yeah. So I do not get this gun club. So it just, it's a fancy video game in a way. Mm-hmm. Like do you ever remember those arcade games where it was like real live action stuff that you had to shoot out? Like, it was a shootout game. It was a quick draw game. Did you ever see those at the arcade?
No, I know, like, so, Buck Hunter.
Yeah, no, this is like, it's an actual, like, they actually film a someone standing there.
Oh.
And you have to try to quick draw him. And if you win, then like the laser disc or whatever it is cuts to the scene that of him getting hit.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It was such a weird thing. But, you know, that's what this feels like in a way, is,
yeah,
you're just trying to shoot at it. Yeah. I don't know. Wait 10 years, guys. You'll have Duck Hunt.
Yeah.
Or actually, you already have Duck Hunt. Nintendo was already around in 87. What am I talking about? This is rich people Duck Hunt.
Yeah.
Arcade for millionaires. I like when Taggart falls in the pool and gets his new outfit. That new outfit is something special. But yeah, and then they go to the strip club, because we did it in the first movie, so we have to go to the strip club again. But I like how they're pretending that he's President Ford.
Yeah. My favorite part about Taggart slipping in the pool is how genuine Judge Reinhold's reaction appears.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
to me, his the way he sells it almost makes it seem to me like, as a viewer, like it must have been an accident that they just kept in the movie.
Yeah, he was really tickled by it. Absolutely. Yeah, at the strip club, $7 for a Coke in 1987? Like, that's outrageous.
Yeah, by inflation.
That's hockey game prices. Like,
inflation, that's like $20. That'd be like us paying $20 for a Coke today.
Yeah. Yeah, at least. Oh my God. Yeah.
That stripper, I don't know, she was her eye contact with the camera is too intense. I was uncomfortable.
She looked through the screen into your soul.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
So Axel ends up getting a matchbox as a matchbook as a clue, and he takes it back to get a fingerprint off of it, back to Rosewood's apartment. Now, why is he doing it this way? Why is he going through this whole crazy glue in the poor turtle's terrarium? That's the part of his science that I don't quite understand. I mean, isn't dusting for prints just like, couldn't he just use powder? Like,
I don't know. I feel like he's the, I feel like this is the part of the cop movie where they're trying to show us like this is some cool like street way, street police work that
yeah.
you'd never think of, but
Well, because he does always like pointing that fact out, is that, in Detroit they do things different. Yeah, so I mean that's a good call on that, but it's still weird to me that like they've been dusting for fingerprints for 150 years and they've always just used powder. I mean,
I also just don't, I also like kind of don't feel like a matchbox is going to be a good fingerprint
yeah.
surface
No, that feels like something
or a
people
rely or
fiddle.
like that it would give you anything reliable is kind of, I don't know, I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, no, that's true. There is that as well. Yeah. But they end up breaking into the gun club at night, and they find map coordinates, and it leads them to figuring out where the next hit is, where it's going to take place. And so the next heist starts, and all three of them are racing to stop them. I like the idea of using the other police cars, getting their attention by crashing into them to get them to chase you to where, or is that the other, is that the next chase? I forget.
I think
Or
that's
is that the new movie?
it's all blending into one. No,
Oh no. Yeah.
that's the one.
Yeah, that, well, see, that's, yeah, that's the one where they end up getting to the third place, and it's, I need to see your authorization. Boom, boom, boom. Authorize. That there's that part. Yeah. But that's when we get some cement truck chasing the armored car, and we end up at the Playboy Mansion. And we get a very young Chris Rock. Were you expecting to see Chris Rock in this movie when you turned it on?
I wasn't, but when I saw him, I immediately I do remember knowing that he got his start in this movie. So like when
Okay, you knew, you sort of knew the scene
yeah, so
or
when I
the,
saw him, I was like, oh yeah, this is the one.
this is the
But but yeah, it is still weird to see him like so young. Like
one.
he looks 12. Looks like such a little kid.
Yeah.
I also thought Hugh Hefner looked really young.
Yeah, that too. Holy shit, yeah.
Because he's a guy I'm like used to just seeing him in like that. I remember watching the Girls Next Door or whatever that
The girls
reality
night,
show that
yeah.
he was in, and like he was just so ancient.
Yeah, he had a bit of a Mr. Burns quality in the in that one. No, he is very young in this movie, and yeah, I mean he gets his big speech of, well, I don't know who either of you are, so get out. Go Hugh.
I wonder if this got him any more roles afterwards. I thought this was going to be his big break.
Well, he I I'm he's been in other movies, I'm sure of it. Like, I'm sure, like, 'cause this, like I said, the first movie filmed at the Playboy Mansion, but I don't think it's the only one that's ever been filmed there. I'm sure I've seen other movies that are at the Playboy Mansion. But I mean, at what point did the Playboy Mansion stop being cool? Or is it still cool? Like, would you still, I mean, I know Hugh's not around anymore, but would you still want to party at the Playboy Mansion?
Is it even
Like,
around?
it
Like,
just.
I feel like I don't even hear. Like, I remember I used to feel like I heard about Playboy quite often. Like, it was in the zeitgeist. And now I feel like I never hear about Playboy. Like, I'm like,
Not as much,
I think the only reason I even know it's still a thing is because that chick who flashed her tits at the Oilers game, like, I saw that she got like signed by Playboy to do like some sort of photo shoot or whatever. And I was
Nice. Good
like,
for her.
yeah, good for her. Way to go. And then I was like, oh, Playboy's still like, they're still at it. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I do notice a lot of Playboy clothing items. Like people wear Playboy a lot still.
Really?
Like
Still?
Playboy pajama plant pants or a Playboy shirt or a Playboy hat. Yeah,
I don't know what circles you're running in, but
I'm a bus,
we don't
I'm a
need to get
city
into your
bus
personal
driver.
life, but
No,
I
I'm a
guess
city
you would
bus
know. You
driver, and
would
yeah, I see some
know.
there is definitely a certain type of person that is usually the one wearing the Playboy, but it definitely I see Playboy more than I see Garfield. I'll say that, I don't see very many Garfield shirts or Bart Simpson shirts, but I see more Playboy shirts.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if like all I remember hearing about the Playboy Mansion is like the grotto,
Yeah.
like that cave pool thing.
And I once heard that it was really actually quite disgusting in there.
Yeah.
I don't remember where I heard that, like some documentary or something, but like, yeah, I guess the grotto is actually a pretty fucking disgusting little area.
Yeah, I could
But it's the
imagine.
place to be. Gross. Yeah. So Axel, though, at the Playboy Mansion does manage to lift Dent's wallet. And so, he keeps just stealing clues. And so we end up getting the Gilbert Gottfried scene. Oh, God, that was funny. Yeah, like the parking tickets.
Heard a lot of that was improvised, a lot of their dialogue.
That doesn't surprise me. Yeah. So Axel, just time after time, though, just keeps proving that he's a better cop than everyone, right? He's better than Rosewood and Taggart because he figures out the mud. Which brings him to the oil fields. Like he's the one lifting wallets and stealing clues. I mean, Detroit cop, man. Detroit cops are just better than Beverly Hills. At the end of the day, that's the lesson that we learn,
Any other does Axel like ever make the move to Beverly Hills in any of these movies?
No.
No, he's always it's always like he something draws him
Yeah.
back into the
Yeah.
fold.
Yeah, in the fourth one, it's a daughter that we never knew anything about ever before. And the backstory there is that he sent her and her mom away because, sent them to Beverly Hills to be safe, and because he had someone that was threatening his family, and so he's been a distant father. And so it's a pickle that his daughter gets into, though, that brings him back to Beverly Hills. So
Gotcha.
yeah, and Billy goes missing, and it was a good movie. I liked it. It was fun. It was fun. It was definitely 2024 Beverly Hills Cop. I mean, I def after watching it, all I could think of is it's a good thing the bad guys in the movies are also getting older, because Eddie Murphy can realistically keep up with them now. Yeah, because we've got Kevin Bacon as a bad guy in the new one, and so it's like, yeah, at least we're dealing with a couple of 60-year-old men. I don't know what Axel Foley would have done if he had like a 20-year-old parkour expert that he was chasing. He had to take a few lazy ways out in his 60s, a few hijacked golf carts, things like that.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Beverly Hills Cop is one of those things that I think could benefit if they wanted to keep the franchise going of like a handoff movie where it's like Eddie Murphy, like Axel teams with like a new young detective, like a Donald Glover or a
So what you're saying though is not the Joseph Gordon-Levitt that we got in the actual
Oh,
fourth
is that
movie.
what we get?
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, maybe keep it a black guy, but
Yeah, like Lethal Weapon, we got Chris Rock in the fourth one of those ones, but this one, no, it was Joseph Gordon-Levitt. But I'm always there for Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I fucking love Joseph
yeah, me
Gordon-Levitt.
too,
He's
but
cool shit. Yeah. One observation I made about the oil field as well, going back to the fact that Bogomil was just jogging through it, I feel bad for those horses that have to graze in that
Yeah, I
field.
remember thinking that. Like, those cannot be healthy horses. Like, no, are they
No.
winning races, or are they just like got the
Yeah.
black lung?
Like, how do they not have two heads?
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's a Mr. Burns horse.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, so in the end, though, they end up having to infiltrate the oil field. And so we get a big old shootout in the end of this movie. A Beverly Hills Cop movie does have to end in a shootout. Strangely enough, though, this is the only Beverly Hills Cop movie where Axel Foley does not get shot sometime before the end of the movie. He gets shot in every other movie. Yeah. There was a weird moment in the final shootout. There's the car driving towards Axel, and Axel ends up shooting the guy in the head, and the car drives off the cliff and blows up. But it feels a little like choppy, and there's something very anticlimactic about it. I wasn't totally there for that particular stunt. I mean, it's Jerry Bruckheimer. Why wasn't there a better explosion, Jerry Bruckheimer? You're still too young in 1987, I suppose.
Now I remember thinking the exact same thing. There was just something like, it's like you wanted, I don't know, I always feel like this in movies, it's like you want there to be like a final, like kind of like the standoff that he ends up having with the woman, where it's
Yes.
like, oh, like is he about to get killed, or they're gonna have like one like drag it out like fist fight type situation with the big bad guy, not
And
like,
like you said, Bogomil should have come bursting in that moment. Yeah.
yeah.
Get his revenge. But it's true. And yeah, and so the end there, it's kind of like, okay, well, great. But because of all of this, because of how all of it was handled by the asshole commissioner, he ends up getting fired. So
Yeah.
by the mayor.
That was
Yeah.
the thing I remember thinking about that, the way that situation, because it's like not just the car just like go off the cliff, but it like goes off the cliff and explodes. And I was thinking, every like they kill everybody. I was like, they kind of destroy all their evidence.
Yeah,
They oh yeah, that was that they blow up all the trucks that have the guns in them and stuff too. But so like all the evidence of the crime that they're claiming to have just solved is kind of just in in tatters. Like it's all been exploded
So good news, bad news. We solved the crime. Bad news, you're gonna have to take our word for it because we vaporized everything. So, yeah, take our word for it. Cool.
Yeah, and also that scene where Billy's using the rocket launcher is like so beyond like just ridiculous.
Billy, I mean, Billy is such a kindred spirit to Tackleberry from Police Academy, just because, like, his love for guns just gets bigger and bigger as time goes on. And, like, the way his face lights up when he gets that bazooka, I mean, he is so excited by that. But, I mean, in fairness, like, the truck explosion, like, destroying all the evidence was an accident. He didn't mean to set it off. Like, I think ultimately the goal was still to shoot at that truck, but he did it by accident. He didn't even have his weapon properly shouldered, you know?
Yeah, that was just my main thought. I was like, you have this police captain who like clearly hates their guts and thinks and like is looking for any excuse to have them fired. And then they engage in like a firefight in the middle in the city limits, destroy all the evidence, and are just like, well, we did a good job here. Praise us.
I'll pat myself on the back for that one. Yeah, I, you know, and it also seems like even high risk to be blowing up trucks in an oil field.
Yeah, that too.
Isn't that what happened in Kuwait back in 1992? Is those things were lit on fire and they had trouble putting them out? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. But so they solve the crime, the captain becomes the new
Police
chief or
chief.
whatever. Yeah, and And Axel gets to go back to Detroit, and the Ferrari has been written off. Yeah.
Ah, good times.
They've cost that police force a lot of money. Yeah.
Yeah, especially when you consider that Axel is also like clearly still like getting paid by
Yep.
them. Like it's not like he's taking vacation time to go do this. He's just
He
like
hasn't actually solved the crime yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's wearing a $12,000 watch. I mean, yeah. He's got to look the part, though. And there we go. That's Beverly Hills Cop 2. Now, Colin on IMDb had scored a 6.5 out of 10 and has a Metascore of 48. On Rotten Tomatoes, it has 48% on the tomato meter and an audience rating of 58%. But Colin, those are just numbers. Like a police captain getting gunned down just for helping a pretty lady. Hit us with some reviews.
All right. Henners says 3 out of 5 stars. This isn't awful. There are some fun bits. Eddie in full motor mouth mode is joyous, and although the film isn't a direct retread of the first, there are many repeated beats. Eddie pretends to be an inspector twice in this, but it doesn't need to exist, doesn't add anything, and we are still left with the feeling after watching the freshness of the first film. Why aren't there any more truly great Eddie Murphy films?
That is a sentiment that a lot of people definitely think is, yes. Eddie Murphy went through a phase there where it's just like, oh, why? Why are you still doing this? But I don't know. I will plug it. I think he got a little bit of his form back with the fourth one, so.
Alan Wallace says 4 out of 5 stars. In short, it was a great movie. Borderline with the first, only thing I found just a little too much was the black shades, sunglasses, and cigars. It was just a little too much. They did not need those on all the characters. Ronnie Cox, the best choice as a police chief, as chief of police again, unlike the LA character who was just way too much trying to act like Ronnie Cox. Still was a great movie.
So he was disappointed that they got this other commissioner in because, you know, because Ronnie Cox wasn't in enough of the movie.
Yeah, and
I
he
guess,
was also
yeah.
disappointed that everyone wore sunglasses and smoked cigars.
He wants to see them eyes. He wants to see your peepers. Yeah, he okay, sure. Yeah. If it's a trigger for you, then that's your truth, man. That's your truth.
Joel H says 2 out of 5 stars. Beverly Hills Cop 2 is as if a bunch of teenagers got a Hollywood budget and decided to make a movie. From the dialogue to the story to the action, everything just feels so juvenile. It seems like everyone had a script to stick to, except for Eddie Murphy. He just kind of says and does anything he wants, and everyone tells him it's great, but it wasn't great. And frankly, the cops in this movie are some of the worst I've ever seen. Axel Foley, Billy Rosewood, and John Taggart should have been fired a long time ago. This movie has some amusing moments, but overall, it's a sloppy rehash of the original.
Okay.
And then this last one is Isla S says 2.5 out of 5. This is pretty predictable stuff. If you're looking for a basic 80s action renegade cop type watch, especially one to have on in the background while you perhaps do other things, then this one is okay. It features tropes and the like, for example, the angry and exasperated police chief who can't keep his officer under suitable supervision or control. It's very much a 1980s film and features explosions, car chases, and the like. It's not entirely unentertaining, but it's certainly not a film I'd re actively recommend. I watched it because it was recorded on my TiVo and I saw it wasn't rated by me online, so I thought I'd rectify that. Oh, and if you hate having the Crazy Frog tune in your head, then you should definitely avoid this film.
Crazy Frog! Fuck! I knew it was a frog. It's not a Crazy Frog tune, though.
Yeah.
They've only redone it, that's all.
there we go.
Right on. Oh boy. Yeah, Beverly Hills Cop 2. It's low marks, and you didn't seem to find any really truly glowing reviews. I'm surprised because I don't know, I had fun with Beverly Hills Cop 2. Is it a perfect movie? No, it's I know it's not a perfect movie, but I don't know. I was still there for, I still laughed. I still enjoyed the plot. I still enjoyed how aggressively 80s it is. Maybe I was watching it more with nostalgic glasses, but I don't think there was anything wrong with Beverly Hills Cop, personally. I still liked it. Colin, so with your first viewing, prove me wrong. Why shouldn't I like Beverly Hills Cop? Do you fall in line with the reviews, or did you like it?
It's hard for me to like. I'll say this about the reviews. I picked reviews that were like the most interesting. There were a lot of glowing reviews for it. Not all of them were negative. Those ones just like I read them and they kind of cracked me up, or I thought the people said something interesting. And those had they happened to be the lower ones. I would say that I do fall in line with like the Rotten Tomatoes, like 48%. Like, I'm about like a, I'd say I'd give this movie like a solid 5 out of 10. I
Give it a
think,
solid meh.
yeah. I think that I would say like weirdly it's just the story is not there. It starts off really good. I was there for the be how it started off in the beginning. But the like mystery of the villain and what they're trying to do and what they're about just isn't overly compelling to me. Like it's just kind of like boring. That aspect, like there's they're not trying to like really accomplish anything that's like overly complex or overly interesting. Like
It is true that, yeah, in the end, when it turns out to be an insurance scam, it's kind of like, oh, okay.
yeah, like I think it just would have it would have been cool like if it was something I don't know, it's kind of like if it was even connected to the first movie and something like I when it comes to buddy cop movies, I kind of like those things where it's like there is some sort of through line, like in the next movie, they're kind of paying for the sins of like the quote unquote sins of the what they'd done in the first movie, the people they wronged, if they killed someone's brother, the villain was someone, and now that they're coming after them or something. Like I think that movie could have this movie could have benefited from something like that. And yeah, just the with the humor, I think I'm still like I'm just still like not I'm just not picking up what Eddie Murphy is laying down. I just don't, I don't find him like
No matter how much I try to force him on your life, you're kind of
it's
like, I just don't get it. I don't get it.
it's really fun. Like, and I'm more than willing to admit that I'm in the wrong. Like, clearly people love Eddie Murphy. I just don't. I feel like you had to be there, and I was like one when this movie came out.
Right on. Now, here we are, sequel September. We're looking at these movies. Now, so far we've only got two to compare, but this or Ace Ventura, which did the better job with the sequel so far?
Oh, this one by far.
Yeah,
Like,
okay.
I
Okay.
mean, it
I can't believe you even hesitated.
yeah. But I hesitated because the
Why?
question was just so ridiculous. Like,
Now I
this
have to
movie.
leave a 6 second gap of silence in the
This...
recording just to get the point across.
yeah, like, this movie at least is like a watchable movie on its own. Like, I think you could. Like I was saying, you could pick up Beverly Hills 2 Cop and not even have seen Beverly Hills Cop, I think, and like. Still fine. This movie is not unenjoyable. Like Ace Ventura 2, in my opinion, is unenjoyable. Like it's not a fun, it's not a
I
good
mean,
movie.
and even for you who barely remembered the one, the first one, that you're the perfect person to be saying that right now, that
Yeah.
you can hop into this and yet kind of catch up, because they are pretty good at reminding you who everyone is without really spoon feeding it to you.
Yeah.
Well, right on. There we go. That is Beverly Hills Cop 2, and that's our show for this week. If you like that show, one thing you could do to really help us out, well, just tell people. Word of mouth is so important for a podcast. Nothing means more to a person than a recommendation that comes directly from you. You say, I like this show, and they'll go, hey, maybe I'll check that show out, and that would be awesome for us. More ear holes filled with our voices. Or if you want to help us out even further, go over to whatever app you listen to your podcast on, give us some stars, give us a little review. Doesn't matter what you say, it's not for our egos. You can't fix us. But give us 5 stars, help drive us up some charts, help us get noticed. Or if you want to be a producer of the show and donate, and go over to patreon.com/I used to like this one, become part of our Patreon community, and then you get a shout out just like executive producer Joshua Blum of the 13th Hour Podcast.
And check out our website, iusedtolikethisone.com, where you can find links to all of our podcast episodes and social media pages. Drop us a line at iusedtolikethisone@gmail.com. Let us know what movies you used to like, and then maybe you'll find us talking about them on the show.
Music by Lyndon Carter. Look for his band, Carter and the Capitals, anywhere you listen to music. Follow him at Carter and the Capitals on Instagram, because if you're in the Alberta area, boy, you'll see some tour dates. So he's been playing quite a few shows this summer. They definitely get around. I love Carter and the Capitals.
Yeah, check out their song Sad Inside. It's on my 2024 playlist.
Nice. Well, Colin, oh boy, geez, sequel September, I'm loving this. I mean, there are so many that I wish we could have gotten to, right? And we will, I'm sure, visit some of them eventually. But after doing comedy and action next week, I think we need to go back and do a little comedy again. I mean, this, I guess, was comedy action, but let's do some comedy. And I mean, There's some great ones that we've done. The first, I even mentioned Police Academy already, but I think we need to do, we need to do some pie.
We need to take it back. We need to take it to the 2000s. We need a teen movie.
We need some punk pop. We need
punk pop in abundance. Pop punk.
Oh boy, yes, that's right. Let's go visit Jim and the gang over with American Pie 2. Fuck, I can't wait. I love American Pie, and I do not visit American Pie enough. I mean, maybe that's because as a 45-year-old man, like, it feels too childish to be watching American Pie still, but God, it's been too long since I've seen American Pie 2.
Too juvenile.
Juvenile has been like the word of the year so far for us around here. But boy, oh boy, yeah, I can't wait. American Pie 2. More Jim's dad. It's always good when you get more Eugene Levy in our lives.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's gonna be awesome. Yeah.
So until next week, I'm Sean Wells.
I'm Colin Stewart.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you for American Pie 2 on I Used to Like This One. But Colin, those are just numbers. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, not so easy, is it?
It's not easy. like a giant blonde woman beating you. I've got nothing. Fuck.
I'll hit you with some reviews.
Quite often I'll like write myself a little note to remind myself, or there'll be something that jumped out in the conversation that I'll think of, but in this case I forgot to write something down.